sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavirayam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
From another point.
Thank you. Okay.
Another page 41. Another point in this verse is that attachment to Dharaghara and Putrapta, home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love, is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to hearth and home for material pleasure cannot become a pure devotee. Sometimes a pure devotee may have a habit or attraction for wife, children, and home, but at the same time want to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. For such a devotee, the Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment, and thus free him from attachment to wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This is special mercy bestowed upon the devotee to bring him back home, back to Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on the same verse. Durvasa Muni says, "You are affectionate to brahmanas, therefore do not ignore me, a brahmana." The Lord says, "That is true, but how can I ignore the devotees? I will have to give them up automatically if I protect you who offended the devotee." That is expressed in this verse. For me, the devotees have given up attachment to wife and children, objects of affection, difficult to give up. What have you, a brahmana, given up? Please tell me. You cannot say that Ambarish did not give up anything. When you engaged the demon to kill him, he did not move a step, since he did not consider his body important. But you, who prayed to Brahma and Shiva for protection, ran all over the universe to protect your body, though you are an Atmarama with complete detachment. I know the true value of him and you. What else should I tell you? Such a fool. Yes. Yes.
In our situation, we would be more similar to Durvasa than to Ambarish.
Yes, so we have something to work on. But see, we're trying. That's why he said before, sometimes devotee may have a habit or attraction for a wife, children, and home, but at the same time want to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. Right? So that means it's dynamic. That's what he wants to do. And so then that will be gradually, Krishna will arrange in such a way that one will take away these objects of false attachment. Right? So that means either they're physically taken away or he takes away one's interest in them. Right? Or any combination.
And I was also thinking more about how Ambarish Maharaj didn't move even when the demon attacked.
Yes.
Kind of far out.
Yes, because he was just, what else are you going to do? That big of a demon, then you just take shelter of Krishna.
So if it was a smaller demon, then you would just do something about it?
Might not. We see is that Parikit Maharaj, then he could have, he was powerful enough to not have the curse affect him, since he's a devotee. And Sringi was just a Brahmin. And so then, but he didn't, because he just saw, how would this happen unless the Lord willed it? So there's something to be gained here. So therefore then he, in either way, in other words, one must know when one can't do more, like Bhishma Dev. He knows he can't do more. He, in his prowess, his ability, he's better than anybody on the battlefield. But he's unable to be effective. Like 10 days he is, but then on this 10th day, he's not effective. So you can understand it's just the will of the Lord. So then he gives up, you know, trying to go against this. And so then at some point one must know is that one's making one's full endeavor, you know, according to one's duties, but there's also then ultimately is the Lord's will. So then how that's going to work. So.
Was that sarcastically said that he's an Atmarama?
No, he's an Atmarama. But that's the whole point of the Atmaramas. Then it's still not a perfect position. Right? Because beyond Atmarama is devotion to Krishna. So Atmarama is just a neutral position.
It sounds like he's kind of identifying himself with the body, that's why he's running all over the room.
That's the whole point that he's making. It's just like you have this side of the fence, that side of the fence, and then you have the fence itself. So Atmaramas are the guys sitting on top of the fence. So yes, they're out of the material world, but they're not in the spiritual world. So even though they're you know, very, so many great qualities and results of their endeavors, but still they're not that, and that's why Krishna says they're a fool, because why should they be on top of the fence? Right? It means you have devotees who are Atmarama. They're on the other side. So it's just showing that they're not connected to the material world. Atmarama means that one's satisfied in the self, one's not interested in material enjoyment. So you can say from that platform, he has no interest. But at the same time, he still identifies with trying to protect himself because he still, you know, sees his individuality, but he doesn't see it in connection to the Lord. Right? So it's subtle. Yeah? The Supreme Lord continued, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. Footnote 13. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse and verse 67 to Bhagavad Arkamrita-mala, chapter 17, entitled Analysis of the Goal of Devotional Service. So, in other words, the goal of devotional service is that you please the Lord. He comes under control. We're not trying to control the Lord. We're trying to please Him that He wants to, because He wants to take that position. So then, coming to that position, then we can say, now we're doing some nice service. Srila Prabhupada comments, in this verse, the word samadarshanah is significant. The pure devotee is actually equal towards everyone, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma bhutav prashanatma nasochati nakankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu. Universal brotherhood is possible when one is a pure devotee, pandita samadarshanah, Bhagavad Gita 5:18. So universal brotherhood means you can see everyone in their position, but it's not that they're all their external condition is all the same. Right? The Vedic concept is that on the platform of the soul you see everyone as the same. But they're external, then you're going to deal with them according to that position. Right? But the modern is no, on the external you'll deal with everybody the same. So that's never going to work out because any two individuals have the same exact needs. So if you make everybody the same there, then it doesn't work out so good. Yes.
That's the same problem of communism, right?
Yes. It's all the same kind of thing. This trying to be everybody's friend is a problem. Because one is you can't be, because everybody is different as an individual. And two is that how do you define what is actual friendship? Because when you take up the position of being friend on the material platform, means you have to oppose authority and enjoyment. The idea is if everyone's friends, everybody's in charge and everybody enjoys. But if you have the same thing and everybody's enjoying, how much do you get? You know what I'm saying? You have one yacht, and one guy is on there with his friends. Now you bring 100 different people with all their friends on the same yacht, how good is it going to be? Who's actually in control? Who actually enjoys? You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that it's always opposed to, so since it's opposed to authority, it actually goes back to Krishna. Therefore, there's a doubt on Krishna's position on how he establishes universal order. Because if it was done in a different way, then everybody could be so much more equal. You understand? So, devotionally, it's a weak position. So that's the point, is that the devotee sees on the platform, the soul, everyone's equal. So but the bodies you have to treat differently. But you're going to deal with them all, do your best according to your position and their position to interact because of the equal nature position of the soul. Does that make sense? So the judgment is done on the platform of the soul. Therefore, the other is just, the context. But when we take the context as the actual thing, then you have completely separate positions. And then that's where you get the us and them. Otherwise, you just have a variety of people, then you deal with them according to how they deal with you. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's a devotee, a pure devotee has actually learned it because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Bhuta. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. Because if you're connected to the Lord, you're going to be happy. You're not connected to the Lord, you're not going to be happy. Now within that not being happy, then there's going to be what you perceive of as happiness and what you perceive as is not happiness. Right? So according to that, that's how you deal with the living entity. So Krishna being like that also, Samadarshana, therefore he deals with them according to how they approach him. They want to enjoy or control in a certain way. Then, of course, if they follow properly how to do that, then they get that result, because that's what they want. So the devotees can see that and therefore interact on that platform. Does that make sense? Thus he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Bhuta. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands that what is happiness to him is also happiness to others, and what is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore he is sympathetic to everyone. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to raise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. Right, so that's actually what you're trying to do. As Prabhupada mentioned before, is that, you know, this movement is for increasing the numbers of pure devotees. You know, or this movement is for trying to create association where everybody can associate with devotees and therefore become God consciousness. You know, or this movement is to make individuals aware of their relationship between themselves and the Lord, and in this way they can be happy and perfect their life. Right? So that's what the whole purpose of everything is for. That's what you're trying to gain. Right? And then there'll be different methods to do that. In a sense, different approach, different kinds of preaching in different areas. And in this way, then people become knowledgeable in a position, become pure devotees, take up the association of devotees, and this way then perfect their life. That's what the whole thing's about. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in verse 66, the Lord says, I am hard to control, Durvasa, like Brahmavadis like you, Durvasa. But I am controlled by the devotees, since their hearts are fixed in me. They are without material desire, sadhava, and they see others suffering as their own, samadarshana. Right. So, therefore, Durvasa can't complain, because he's hard to control. And so the Lord is the origin of that.
Here it pointed out that devotees are compassionate to others. As they're, because there's also a quality of conditioning that some people are more compassionate, some people are less compassionate, and only those who don't care for themselves as Udama Adhikaris, materially, they can see suffering of others.
No, Madhyams can see that.
Madhyams also.
Yeah. Means when we say pure devotee, we mean Madhyamana. So, I mean, it can be a Kanista, but, you know, so it's a generic, but if you're taking by stages, then your Madhyam is generally considered your pure devotee.
So you can only see suffering of others when you don't care about your own suffering as such?
When you see the Lord. Because if you don't care about yourself, you'll see for others. But it's just a matter of, how much detail you'll see. But the point is if you see everyone connected to Krishna, then you understand it's all the same nature, they're all the same quality of soul. Therefore, if something bothers you, it must be bothering others also. Right? But generally we just see it's what's bothering me bothers me, and then and the others are what's bothering me. You know, so, you know, so it's not that we're you know. So we're not seeing that the same thing bothers them. Right? So by good qualities you can see up to a certain extent, but it will be limited where you can see it. But for the devotee, he can see it in every living entity, right? We'll be able to maybe see that in certain categories, but not in all categories. The Supreme Lord continued, "My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation. Salokya, Swarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the heavenly, to the higher planetary systems?" Srila Prabhupada comments. Bilva Mangal Thakur realized that if one develops his natural devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukti stands before him with folded hands to offer all kinds of service. In other words, the devotee is already liberated. There is no need for him to aspire for different types of liberation. The pure devotee automatically achieves liberation, even without desiring it. So these aspects, liberation is already there. You perform devotional service, it's automatically there. Because if you're pleasing Krishna, then you're on the transcendental platform. So what's the material aspect? So that, so therefore, yes.
So can we say that our goal is prema, but not the position in the spiritual world, which is
yes.
All kinds of this?
Yes, yes. It means the point is prema could develop love for Krishna, because you could be anywhere. You know, it's just like the Goswamis, they come down here to preach. So they're not, you could say, as such in the spiritual world. They're here. So, but for them, it's not the material world, it's just Krishna's inferior energy. But the living entities that are here in the consciousness of the material world, so they're dealing with that. So, but the point is, if one's on the platform of prema, what does it matter where you are? But then Krishna, such devotees, then he arranges they're with him. They're the ones that spend their time with him. Yes?
So I always wonder, why is it mentioned? Is it for others, you know, Vaishnava Sampradaya? Is this the goal, actually, to get Sarupya?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's it. Like the Madhvas, it's Sarupya. The Shris, I haven't asked them that, but the Madhvas, they very clearly say, I've heard it from a few different, that it's Sarupya. They're trying to get the same form as the Lord. You know, naturally they're on the same planet, they're an associate, they're, you know, but the focus is that aspect. Like that. But they'll do that in nice devotional attitude and everything like that. You know, so it's in pure devotion. It just has these. So it's what he's saying is that these go. That's why we say, means we're talking pure devotional service. That means anybody in the spiritual world, right? So we're just talking generic devotional service, and so that applies to all Vaishnavas. Now within that of taste, then will be pure unalloyed devotion. So that then will be Braja Bhakti. So that will be unique then, even amongst. Within the Vaishnava community. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the next verse, 68, refutes the idea that the devotees do not taste transcendental bliss. The Supreme Lord continued, "The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotee does not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but them." Srila Prabhupada comments, "Since Durvasa Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Sadhavo Hridayam Amahyam. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart." So if you disturb the devotee, then you're disturbing the Lord, since the devotee is in the Lord's heart. Like that. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father, who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of the devotee are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Durvasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadasi Parana as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he drank a little water. But although Durvasa Muni was a great mystic brahmana, he did not know what is what. Right? So he doesn't understand. He just saw rules. So he's taking it that's his personal brata, but taking care of a titi, you know, which he's qualified to be, then is more important, because when the atiti comes to the house, then the whole house centers around the atiti. So that means your personal considerations aren't there. That's the idea. So he's looking at it that it's a breach in the rules. He's not taking it that it's within the context of devotional service. So all of these can go on. Right? On the material platform, these are two contradictory points. But on the devotional platform, they don't contradict each other, because it's all about Krishna anyway. His vow, Ekadasi vow, is for Krishna. His taking care of his guest is for Krishna. Right? His running his kingdom is for Krishna. So it all works, yes.
But even from the material point of view, drinking water as he did is not considered to be
eating.
Offense.
Yes, but at the same time, it can be considered eating. Just like if it's near jal and you drink water, then you break the fast. You break the fast. Right? So that's the idea, is that it does both. So that's what he needed. He needed to break the fast, but he needed to not eat and break, you know, the rule of serving his guest first. So the water would do that. It would break the fast, but at the same time, it wouldn't break the rule of serving the guest. So that's why he wasn't at fault. He perfectly balanced it. Even the Brahmins couldn't work this out. He had to suggest it. Right? But Durvasa, he's on flimsy grounds. He's trying to, you know, make it, I'm the atiti, it's all about me, and you didn't follow like that. You went and drank this water, so you're trying to enjoy yourself with all this drinking of water. Right? You've been fasting for 48 hours, and now you've drank water and like this and that, and that's not to be tolerated, the enjoyment that comes out of it. You know, it's like, you know, it's just, yeah.
What does atiti mean?
Guest. Okay. Here it means atiti, and by Manu's definition, if a Brahman unannounced shows up, uh-huh. That's what it means. It doesn't mean a friend, a known person, or things like this. Like that? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, one of your friends show up, they're not an atiti, so they have the same facility you would have. Right? Atiti you serve first, then dependents, and then yourself. But friends come with yourself. So if there is, let's say, a good friend shows up and you have an atiti, a guest, then they might help you serving that Brahman. Then after seeing everybody else is taken care of, then you and your friend will sit down and eat. Right? This idea is your friend walks in and, oh, they should sit with the guest and all that, that's uncultured. You know, unless it's us, you know each other and you're all friends, then that works. But this whole idea is that, no, I'm a guest. No, you're not a guest, you're a friend. And a relative shows up, they're not a guest, they're a friend. So that's why relatives will be dealt with also in that category. They're not atitis. So the house doesn't stop for them. They just become part of the scene. Right? Atiti means everything stops for them. And they're only atiti for one night, one day.
Then
after that means, if you want to extend that for 3 days, then that's considered very pious. But you don't have to. One day is all that's required. It's like that. So 3 days. So if it's one of these ones they just stay on permanently because they like the facility, then that's not an atiti. There's other words that describe such positions, such social status. Vaishnavas are that, but are they relatives? Are they friends? Are they like that? You know, are they junior? Are they senior? So, Vaishnav is not in this category. And who's senior? Then you take them as Atiti. You understand? But if it's one of your friends or relatives, they're not Atiti. They fit into what's going on. You know, whatever you're eating when you're eating it, that's when they eat. You know, not that, oh, I'm the guest, then I get, you know, my special treat. No, they don't. It's just people taking advantage.
And the particular phrase that we have, Atithi Devo Bhavah.
Yes.
So, like, is that mundane or like it has something to?
No, it means that's the etiquette. Yeah, because it goes on Atithi, Acharya Devo Bhavah. That's it.
Mother.
No, that's a different verse. Okay. That's Taittiriya Upanishad. That's it. Atithi Devo Acharya Devo. No, maybe it's in that. It's before that. They're lower. It's going up through it. And then Acharya is the last. So there's a hierarchy of that. But that means is that still in the house means you're respecting them as the Supreme because they're Guru. But the point is they're not afforded that everything. What do you say? You're adjusting your life in connection with, right? So then the parents, then, you know, their interests and all that, you're adjusting your life to fit into that if you're, you know, under their care, right? And they give an instruction and that, but so if you're living in their care, then you adjust with that. If you're living on your own, then, you know, you have to balance it. Does that make sense? But if, let's say, your parents come and visit, they eat when you eat. You understand? And not that they're like this Atiti. But if the Acharya comes, then they're in that case like Atiti. So it's not only you're taking care of them, but the instructions and other things like that. So you're adjusting your life with there. So does that make sense? That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotee is being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart. Surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:11. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Right? So compassion before was the position of that mercy or that relationship where the devotee sees the position of the Lord and their relationship with him as a person and that affection. And then the Lord reciprocates that. That's it. So then wanting that for others, that's actual mercy. That's actual compassion. Right? So it's because of relationship, therefore that compassion is there. And this is not the big monster armchair, you know, at the gate of heaven with no face, and then you just gesture, you know, to the right or left with your fingers. We're not talking about that compassion. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Na Bhujai. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 23:39. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one, therefore, should criticize a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So those who are more advanced, we don't judge. You know, what is example for us, we take that. What's not, then we don't judge because we actually don't know the situation, what's going on. Right? It means we will use Aropya to say, oh, if I was in that situation, this is what I would do. But the point is that's not necessarily what they're doing. Yes?
This is very difficult, actually, not to judge others, especially senior devotees, because the mind is sticky by nature, you know, it's just, you
yeah.
know, automatically it's, you know,
yeah.
it's all in there.
Yes. But that's also, as we were discussing before, it's also a lot of the present day, you know, political environment.
Yeah.
Is that it's anti-authority.
it's on the forum, it's all open for everybody.
Yeah, and it's everybody's right to know. But then what about their life? What did they eat for breakfast? How much did it cost? Where did they get it? How much endeavor?
Okay.
Who cares? But at the same time, are they supposed to be, okay, they're going to Spencer's in Calcutta. That's 4,000 rupee car ride. And they're buying, that funny South American codicil, quinoa, like that, for
500 rupees.
Oh, no, it's down.
Half
a kilo, yeah, 1,000 rupees like that. All over in South America, it probably costs 5 paisa, right? So like that. And then, eating that and all this because of hell, this and that, but then, someone else is doing something, but it's different from that. It would be a different, but why are they doing that? So much money, so much, but that's the whole thing, is that if they're in a position of authority, then they can't do anything. But if I'm not in a position of authority, I can do anything. And everybody has to understand, and hey, I'm just human, and like this, but that authority is never human. That's why you can criticize them, because if they were humans, you could criticize, but since they're not humans, then, Yeah, it depends. Depends upon if that's their only shape, or they can change shapes, that makes a difference.
Nagas don't eat quinoa.
Huh? Yeah, that's why. That's why you haven't seen it become a popular thing on the higher levels. Yeah. Yes.
What does it take to kind of understand?
Oh, I was going to say. So then, what do you do with quinoa?
What does it take to understand? Kind of wake up that actually, yes, this is what I'm doing. That I'm lenient with myself, but I'm strict with others instead of being. I'm strict with myself. I'm lenient with myself.
Just analyze. You just have to think.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. That's the problem, right? This move is called Buddhi Yoga. Right? So that's the underlying. Weakness of the whole thing, we have to think. See, that's the fun part, is because modern man considers himself very intellectual, very thoughtful, very advanced, because of the technology and all that. But that's all someone else's thinking. Someone else dreams up the technology. Someone else dreams up how to sell that. And then we just use it. Like that. So it's not actually that, we say, oh, he's so advanced. But actually, you hand a smartphone to a 5-year-old or 4-year-old, they can run it perfectly. It may take them a couple of weeks, but the adult, it takes them that long, if not a few months anyway. So it's not that it takes a lot of brains to be able to run. So the problem is we're not used to thinking, even though it's all about thinking. That's what we were talking before, is that the modern is you take goals. You take the good qualities and make them goals. When they're not goals, they should be the tools you use in your activities. Being nice is not a goal. Being nice is how you should just do things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So because of that, then we take those as goals. So if we see something, oh, that's not nice, but that's our definition of not nice. For someone else, that might be nice. So we don't know the consideration of what's going on. And because of that, then we get ourselves into trouble. Prime Minister of India is putting out a petition for a total ban on cow slaughter.
Really?
But cow slaughter. But people have to sign it. So.
1 billion people.
Huh?
1 billion people have to sign it.
No. Probably just it's whatever's the
percent.
Yeah, there's something, some percentage.
So it takes a person to think. It's like either pain or.
I mean, these are also methods.
Yes.
You know how you say? In other words. The German phrase "we have our ways," that probably comes from Maya, right? So the point is you either use your brain and do it, otherwise then it will be made more obvious. So there's a subtle point in which you can take up, you know. Generally when you kind of think about it for a nanosecond and then, nah, like that, you know. And then comes that others start to mention something or you notice or, you know, little things like that. That's the next thing. And then it just keeps going and then it just becomes grosser and grosser and grosser. So when you're, you know, yeah. So you want to try to get, you want to try to figure it out before you end up in a Minerva cast. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. Yeah. Okay. So it's just a matter of whenever you catch it, then that's when you move forward in that. But so if you use your intelligence, then it'll be quicker. And if you wait until it comes down to the, you know, the more obvious, then. Then it's the reaction stronger. That's all. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments: the Lord says, "Though I want to give you the suitable result for causing pain to my devotee, I do not do so. Understand that this is because I am affectionate to brahmanas." That is expressed in this verse, right? So actually, he's doing okay. He's complaining, why aren't you taking care? He says, no, I am taking care.
So that the desire to revenge is coming from the Lord, actually.
Means the desire to deal with what has been dealt with there, then that's that, because that's based on the position of the affection between the Lord and the devotee. The devotees, like that. So outside of that, in other words, what is against aparadha? Radha means worship. So apa means what's not worship, which is against worship.
Still in pursuance of worship.
Means someone does something that's not appropriate for the relationship between the Lord and the devotees. That's aparad. Right? So it means it's against the devotees, against the Lord. Therefore, there'll be a reaction to that. So it's not revenge. It's just that getting what you deserve for what you've done.
So revenge would be helping in giving this reaction?
Means you can take part as an instrument in giving the reaction, but then you get a reaction for taking part in the reaction. So, yes, it's like that, yeah. Hence, how you say, 4,000 years. Yes.
It's actually an interesting point because Sudarshan is chasing him, but it doesn't touch him.
Yes. Yeah, just right there. Yeah. Yeah, because when he comes to those personalities, so he stops, to offer prayers. I don't think he's saying prayers as he's running by, you know. Like that. Lord Brahma then looks up. Did someone say something? Yeah. So he must stop just while that, and then that being done, then he has to go again. You know, so. Yeah. So that's the thing of the equalness, is that an action has been done, you get the reaction to it. So that's just what's going on. So it's a mechanical process, what's going on, but it's based on what is the desire of the Lord, and that's for the devotional interaction between him and his energies. Right? So in other words, his surup with the surup shakti, that devotional interaction is what his desire is. And so we, as devotees of the devotee, then we serve in that line. When it's opposed to that, you know, it's not in other words, it's not in support of how the surup shakti would serve Krishna. Like that. Or if we're taking, you know, in the fundamentals of the relationship, how we would interact, taking that position between the Shakti and Shaktiman, then if it's not according to how Krishna would behave or according to how his Surup Shakti would behave, that's aparad. You know, so therefore, what is in line with how Krishna and his potency would interact, that's called piety. That's recommended. What is against that, that's impiety. So people can use that piety and impiety for the material benefit, but we're supposed to be using it for pleasing Krishna. So we have to be able to distinguish that. Otherwise, yes, it's pleasing to Krishna, but are we doing it to please Krishna? Like Daksha was pleasing Krishna, but doing it for his own purpose. It wasn't actually ultimately please the Lord. It was as an approach to please the Lord, because the Lord is the one who gives results. And he being, you know, your archetypical karmi, you know, then he knows this perfectly well. The devotees are my heart. You who wanted to afflict my Ambarish have afflicted my heart. Durvasa Muni says, if I have offended you, then I fall at your feet for forgiveness. The Lord says, I am the devotee's heart. When the devotee's heart is pleased, I am pleased. Right, so he's trying to get around this. Right? Go to Ambarish and please him. Durvasa Muni says, but he invited me and then did not feed me. He wasn't. You came. You got out your fire demon before he could serve lunch, right? You know, what do you want? And instead he ate. Do you not see his fault? But then if he's going to do that, then it would have been he invited him to his house for a nice drink of water. Then, you know, says yes, Durvasa Muni, I would like to invite you for a drink of water. And then he would have gone, taken his bath, that and all that, then come back, had his drink of water. But he was getting, yeah, he's not, he's misapplying here. Right? Do you not see his fault? The Lord says, they do not know anything except me. Ambarish does what I desire him to do. Durvasa Muni says, therefore I ask you, please reply, between a brahmana and a dvadasi, which is more respectable as dharma? Really, really trying here. The Lord says, please go, ask Ambarish. He will teach you, since you are so ignorant of the conclusions of the scriptures on dharma. Do not have any shame about this. I also have no knowledge. I do not know anything more than they do. Since the Shruti says that drinking water is both eating and not eating, Ambarish has equally respected the brahmana and the dvadasi. But you are ignorant. You do not know that. This is hinted. Right? Because he's not taking into consideration the rule that it breaks and doesn't break. He's just taking it that you ate and didn't feed me. Like that. But okay. And Durvasa had not asked Ambarish about this, since he should be made to understand the superiority of the dvadasi over all dharma because of its bhakti by seeing result of its action. So he didn't ask Ambarish why he did this, because otherwise he would have explained. Right? And then he would have sat down and had lunch. But instead, he had to run all over the universe. And this is before lunch, right? So, you know. Yeah, so, you know. So we can understand Durvasa Muni is one of the thin yogis, not the, you know, fat ones. Yeah. So, in other words, all the scriptures are about surrendering to the Lord. So applying them in surrender to the Lord, that's actually the meaning of the scriptures. So the devotees know this. So then the Lord is saying, I don't know this. I just know what the devotees know. Right? Because it's based on their relationship with him. He knows all knowledge, but then you're supposed to apply that knowledge. What's the purpose of application? Is the relationship between the devotee and the Lord. So then the relation of the devotee and the Lord, then how you use those rules and regulations in connection with the Lord. So that's then what pleases the Lord. So that's what the Lord knows. So the Durvasa Muni saying he's studied these and he's a scholar in these, but he's not interpreting it according to devotion, means he actually doesn't know. Right? So when we say all these things about devotees, then it sounds like, oh, it's a bit biased. And all that. It's not objective according to the modern academic position. This is, as it mentions here, is there a time when Lord Vishnu didn't call Durvasa a fool? Every time he calls him a fool. You don't know. You don't understand. You are ignorant. So this idea of looking from the perspective is no, Vaishnava philosophy is biased. Then that is the philosophy for fools. That should be very clear. That's the position. Because only the Vaishnav, they're in the proper balanced state. They're the ones who see equally. They're the ones who deal equally. Right? Now if you say that, oh, but this devotee didn't deal nicely. But, okay, now one is, should we be judging? Or if not, then, okay, but that's the conditioning. But we're talking about the pure state. But that's the standard. We can't adjust because there are devotees in mixed devotional service who make mistakes and then make a philosophy based on that and judge everything on that. That we cannot do. Pure devotion is the standard. We have to see according to that. So what brings that person in that position of mistakenness to pure devotion? That's what we should be looking at. No, not that we change our perspective and look at it from already the view of fools and view of the ignorant. And then, but at the same time, word it very nicely so that individuals can think that, oh, I am so intelligent. So that's the modern approach. Is they try to, because the modern approach we always have to remember is anti-authority. That's just the way it is, except for themselves, of course, their authority. Right? You're against authority. There can't be God, there can't be religion, there can't be this, there can't be that. But there's a chair at the university and he's the authority. If you don't follow what he has, you do not get your PhD. End of discussion. That's just the way it is. Right? You know, or in the court, right? The judge, he makes a decision. It's not to be doubted. If you want to redo by another judge or something like that, that's something. But it's sacrosanct, the authority of the judge, or the authority of the academic. You know, or the doctor gives his thing, then that's his authority. You can get a second opinion, but it's not saying, oh, his is bogus. No, it's just another opinion. You understand? So the basic principle that the Brahminical class is above this, how you say, doubt, that's fine. That's good. But the point is where do they get their authority from? That's supposed to come from the Supreme Lord and from the Scriptures. So, Durvasa has taken a step further. So he's a so-called Vedic, not just a so-called scholar, he's a so-called Vedic scholar. So he's taken it from just his own authority, his own intelligence, to the authority of the Veda. But he doesn't take it to the position of the Lord. That's the difference. That's why the Vaishnavas, they're the real scholars. Right? So you have scholars, Vedic scholars, and then devotees. Right? So the other two are, means on their own, we'll say they're scholars. But if you juxtaposition them against devotional service, or modern against Vedic, then we'll say so-called. So that's the position, is that we have to be very, very careful that it's about seeing these things in connection to Krishna. That's the whole point. So seeing connection to Krishna, that's actually the purpose of the Vedas. So how the devotees see it, that's how he reciprocates. So therefore, you can see is that in Lord Chaitanya's line, how that's being presented by Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas, that is how Lord Chaitanya sees it. Right? How Madhva presents it and his devotee, that's how then the Lord of Vaikuntha sees it. Right? Because it's about the relationship between the Lord and the devotees. So it's absolute, but it's personal. That's the perfections on that level. When you get down to this level, then the problem is there's one supreme, so therefore you can reconcile anything. But here, because every living entity thinks that they're supreme, there's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? You know, for you, the mattress is where you, as the, you know, supreme enjoyer, rest. But the mattress is also the place where the ant, as the supreme controller and enjoyer, finds things to eat. So there's a conflict of interest here. Right? Does that make sense? So on the material platform, you can never be happy. That's the difference. But on the spiritual platform, that's the only place, because there you can reconcile everything. So that's the vision. Seen like that, that's perfection.
Mara?
Yes?
Would a devotee start developing that vision at the level of Manamoya and maturity at Anandamaya?
Manamoya is where you can start to understand the form of it. Because then Durvasa would have, working on that, being situated in Vijnanamoya. Right? He knows he's the soul, not the body, but it's not that he's not going to take care of the body, because he's not ready to merge into Brahman just yet. Like that. So does that make sense? But because below mana moy, you're not working on the philosophical platform. So you have so many philosophers, but until they accept the laws of God, you're not actually functioning on the philosophical platform. You're using the intellectual platform, but it's for your own gain. Because otherwise, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, they're just observing patterns in something that means something to them. Okay. So, yeah. Yes. No. The Supreme Lord continued, "O Brahmana," right? Because now he's not saying you've made the mistake, you're not a Brahmana, this and that. You know, that also, we tend to do that. Oh, he's not a Brahmana. Oh, he's not a devotee. Oh, he's not a leader. No, they're performing the activities, that's where they're situated, that's their duties, but within that they may make a mistake. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like someone's in the kitchen, they're cooking, and they're known as a good cook, but then let's say something goes wrong, and then, oh, they're not a cook. Right? Does that make sense? They should be banned from cooking. You know, but that's. And then what do you do? Everybody makes a mistake, because Krishna says every action is covered by, as fire is covered by smoke, every action is covered by fault. That means by that process, within time, no one is able to do anything.
Perfection.
Yeah, perfection. Then everyone's equal, right? You know. Yes.
The last he was actually saying, "You're not a Vaishnava, don't preach."
Yes. Yeah, because he's saying, "Yo, you don't know the Supreme Lord, because you're not following the rules in that. The Brahmins are dear to the Lord. You're not treating the Brahmins properly, and therefore you're not a Vaishnava." But he's not understanding that it's the rules are the medium through which you express the devotion. So then, how he's applying the rules, because that devotion, its dharma is very complex. So what was the angle you started from? He's taking it. I'm Atiti. I'm a Brahmin. And here a Kshatriya. Rather than here is Dwadasi, Vrata is being done, it's about Ekadasi, and Ekadasi is being done to please the Lord. And so therefore he's trying to please the Lord in this way, and please the Lord by serving the Vaishnava. So he's doing both. But Dravasa is taking, no, it's one or the other. Because he's not seeing the importance. He's going to say, I'm a Brahmin, but what about Ekadasi? What's the position of Ekadasi? Is Ekadasi something special? Do Brahmins follow Ekadasi, or does Ekadasi follow Brahmins? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is he's showing that this Dwadasi Vrata means the Ekadasi, but he's equally respected them both. But Durvasa hasn't. He's given all emphasis to Brahmins and not to the Dwadasi. But Ambarish has respected them both equally. So he is able to see equally. Durvasa is not, even though he's Atmarama. So. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarisha, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Right? He's the subject. He applies it towards the object. Right? It's supposed to, with the idea of harming the object, but no, it'll harm the subject. We also saw it was with, I think, Kashi Raj. He got this demon or something that came and attacked, I think, Dwarka or something. And when it came to Dwarka, then it figured out, okay, this is crazy. Then he went back and then killed the king and everything. So it's pretty standard. Srila Prabhupada comments. A Vaishnava is always an object of envy for non-devotees, even when the non-devotee happens to be his father. Right? So this idea we're always going to please the non-devotees, it's never going to happen. You're going to approach the non-devotees in such a way that they become devotees, then on that platform they can actually be happy. But this idea is, oh, we'll present ourselves so perfectly, everybody will be happy, the same, you know, I'm the friend of everybody. It never will happen on the material platform, it can't. As devotee, yes, but as in the material, it's impossible. It doesn't work. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.